You're listening to Real Facts on Real Estate with Sean Patrick Maloney.
This sounds good.
Welcome to episode 42.
I'm here today with Lakeisha Roberts, a senior business advisor with Zillow Group. We're going to talk about all the ins and outs of Zillow, lots of different questions you guys all have. Thanks for joining me today, Lakeisha.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Sean. Pleasure to be here.
Excellent. So tell us just a little bit about what you do over at Zillow and how you got started there.
Perfect. So I am a senior business advisor. This is actually a new role for me. I started with Zillow as a senior business consultant. But as an advisor, my job is to help agents, help brokers actually make money. So what I do is I coach, I train individual agents, brokers who have teams, help make sure your routing rules are set up, make sure everyone on your team is set. And then from there, there's a whole seven part kind of what we call like an academy that is available to agents and to brokers for their agents on their team. And I coach to make sure that you all are receiving, you know, making money from us, giving you best practices as to what to do to really be successful on the platform. I came from Trulia in San Francisco. So I was on the strategic team. So I basically would find brokers like yourself, Sean, and brokers who are spending a lot of money on Zillow, and I would bring them over to Trulia and help them be successful on the platform. So that's where my expertise comes from, is I know what it takes to make money, and that's what I'm here to do, is to coach agents and make sure you guys are all making money.
Yeah, now if I understand it correctly, Zillow and Trulia are advertising are one and the same at this point?
Yes. So the whole, you know, they're just different platforms. It's kind of like user experience, right? So our North Star is always the consumer. So like, if you like Trulia, you just like the feel of Trulia. We all also have realestate.com as well. So that's another site. And that's more geared to millennials. And so the platform is just a little bit different. I think it's a little bit like, you know, geared towards millennials. I'd say it's a little sexier for them in their home search. So it's really just about user preference. That's all it they have to do with. But we're all under one umbrella.
Sure. Well, I have a list of questions I'm going to ask you today, and we'll write down. And then if, like I said, anybody that's watching today wants to ask any questions, they can feel free. First off, I want to start off with, what advertising programs does Zillow offer? And are there options for different people? This group has lenders and has insurers, investors, all different people in it. So are there different options? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So like right now, Premier Agent is the premier business for agents and for brokers. We have a premier broker program as well that's just geared towards brokers like yourself. But the premier agent business is really the first line of defense for us. It's like the foundation of the company. And what it's designed to do is connect agents like yourself or brokers with actual consumers, right? Because our North Star is the consumer. All Zillow is doing is being the mediator between the consumer and the agent, making sure that we can bridge the gap when consumers are looking for homes in their areas.
Excellent. And so options-wise, lenders, insurers, stuff like that?
Yeah, so lenders, so we do have, and I really encourage agents to look at this and brokers, is we do have a co-marketing program with lenders. And I always encourage brokers and agents to really utilize lenders, because lenders have a marketing budget that they can use and help you with your advertising. So we allow lenders to also advertise on our platform as well. So they have their own profile. They'll show up with agents who are advertising in their areas as the premier lender. So yes, our program is open to lenders. You mentioned insurers and investors, not so much there, but Zillow is offering other options like Zillow Offers and Zillow Home Loans and all of that that's coming down the pike that I think will be able to add more, participation from other sources of people in real estate.
Do they sell any sort of like banner ads or anything like that for those types of people?
You know what? I don't know it in particular if they're still doing the banner ads. When I was at Trulia, we did, and I'm not sure if that's still going on with Zillow, but that's something that I can, you know, find out and get back to you on.
Excellent. So then next up I want to talk about is, What are the free ways? A lot of people, you know, we're always looking for the freebies. What's the best free things that we can do in order to maximize our exposure on Zillow?
Yes. So the main thing that I preach to my brokers and agents is reviews and past sales. So those are the two main ways. So think about it this way. We are in a Yelp generation. People want to see how many stars you have. Consumers want to see who you are. Why do people like working with you? If you could tap into your resource of clients that you have from the past and get them to write reviews, that is extremely helpful because that's giving the consumer insight into who you are and why people like themselves would want to work with you. Past sales is another way. So even if you're a new agent, you know, past sales can seem intimidating, especially if you don't have a lot of past sales, but you want to keep that updated. And if you are a more seasoned agent, this is the way you can, you know, use your, that as a competitive advantage because people want to see, like, have you sold homes? How many homes have you sold? What kinds of homes have you sold? Like, why is it that I would choose you as an agent? So those are free things that you can do along with, you know, making sure your profile is, you know, you have a great picture, making sure that you have a great bio. All of those things are free things that you can do that I stress with my agents to make sure that you can, you're seen in the marketplace.
Yeah, so I want to touch back on that. I think a lot of agents actually don't realize that their past sales don't go up automatically.
No, so, correct. They do
I
not.
I've done business with people who have impressive track records, but on Zillow, they look like a nobody because they don't have a photo, they have no sales. And I always think to myself, they're kind of doing themselves a discredit by not taking part. So you're saying they can log in and do a free profile and at least make sure they're claiming these items?
Correct. So that's something that's, like I said, that's something that's free. The past sales, that's a good point, Sean. We have it. We have a team that, and it has a template in the profile where you can actually, you know, put your past sales into a template and send it to the past sales team for them to upload. So if you have a whole load of past sales that you're like, I can't do all of this. I don't have an admin. It feels overwhelming. You can go to that template, put everything in as it asks you to place it in there, and then send it to the past sales team so they can upload it for you. So those are some of the things that, like, you know, we provide, but that's a good call out, Sean, is that past sales do need to be updated by the actual agent themselves.
Yeah, I did notice that one. So next up, I'm going to ask you a tough one here. I'm going to throw you a bit of a curveball. Working for Zillow, I'm sure you've heard that you guys kind of have a bad rap in the industry. And one of the things seems to be is people seem to think you're here to replace us.
You know what? I love this question. Yes, I do know that we have a bad rap. I do know that agents do not like us. And, you know, it's like anything else. When a company comes in and disrupts a market, so if we think about like Netflix, I don't think Blockbuster is very thrilled about Netflix coming in and streaming business because it completely threw them under. But what you have to be, you know, rest assured with us is that agents are the blood of our company. We are in no way trying to get rid of agents. You all are the backbone of why we exist in the first place. The only thing that we're trying to do is give information to the consumer. So realize that the consumer is the North Star. The agent is not the North Star. And I think that's why agents tend to be like, you know, we don't like you. But in the rule of advertising, it's all about going where your consumers are. All Zillow is a platform. We're trying to provide as much information to the consumer as possible. We're trying to make the home buying experience for consumers as easy as possible. And the way we're doing that is we're connecting them with an agent live and on demand. But we're in no way trying to replace agents. There's no reason why. I don't have a real estate license currently. The people that I work with don't currently have real estate licenses. And so if we were trying to replace you all, we would all be required to get licenses. And that's just not the case. What we're trying to do is provide a platform for consumers to get as much information as possible.
Yeah, and I know you didn't say it, but I would say the one that should be concerned is the MLS system and hiding data from the clientele. I think that they're the reality of who should be concerned here, not really the agents.
And that's the reason how Zillow got started, right? We took what was, you know, historically information that was hidden from the consumer. We took that and gave it a platform. And, you know, so that's the reason why, you know, we exist, is we wanted to give as much information to the consumer as possible.
I spend a lot of time in a lot of different real estate chat forums, read a lot of stuff about this. And often I see these know-it-alls that say people should hold their listings back from putting them on Zillow and different things like that. And we signed a fiduciary agreement that says we'll do everything with our best interest, with the client's best interest in mind. And it's like, if all the consumers are looking there, how can you possibly think holding it back from there? I've never had a single consumer say, oh, hey, Sean, I found this property on MLS. Will you show it to me? It doesn't happen. It's Redfin, it's Trulia, it's Zillow, it's all the major search engines right now. So I think it's learning how to work within the ropes that we have to the current day.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree.
All right. So next up, let's talk about what does an agent or a lender have to do in order to be successful in the Zillowing?
So I'd say number one is you really want to work with your account manager to make sure, number one, that you have the right advertising strategy. Okay, so that's number one. You want to be in the right areas. You want to be in the areas that you're targeting. And you also want to make sure you have the right allocation so that, you know, your goals are in alignment with what you are going to actually produce based upon your advertising. Number two, I would say picking up your phone and actually having a live conversation with the consumer on the other end. And then number three, which is the big one and where I spend 95% of my time, and you know this, Sean, is follow-up. The biggest hurdle I think most agents have is not just getting the transaction that's going to be for this month, but also planning ahead for the months to follow, right? Especially in an area like New England where there is snow. The reality is that people are still looking for homes online, but we know that the traffic can tend to slow down because people are not out actively looking, you know, because it's so cold. So you want to make sure that your pipeline is, you know, robust such that you know that this person may not be able to afford to buy a house 3 to 6 months down the line or maybe a year. But that doesn't mean that that consumer is not important. And where I see agents drop the most balls is just honestly not managing the pipeline, not managing the online leads that come through and just really not tapping into them.
Yeah, I as a broker can agree with that one because they kind of have that cyclical effect of I've got a bunch of deals going, I don't need anybody. Oh my God, where are my clients?
Yeah.
Oh my God, where are my clients? And
exactly.
I really like Anthony LaMacchia and I was listening to one he had recently and he was talking, he called it closing disorder or something.
Yes.
Like so focused on that closing coming up. That you're not actually focused on what we are. And a lot of people think we sell houses and stuff, but I always say to people, I'm a marketing company that just so happens to be good at selling houses. Like that's a byproduct of the lead gen that we do.
I love that take on it. I mean, but that's the key, right? And it's hard, you know, it's like, it's easy to take a phone call and to go show a home. Right. But it's not, you know, it takes a lot. And I'm a Tom Ferry fan. I will admit that I don't know why I like him so much, but I think he's just very charismatic and he has a lot of great things to say. And one of the things he says is time block. Right. In the morning from 8 to 10, in the evenings from 4 to 6, that's when you should be sitting down at your desk, making those phone calls, reaching out to clients who maybe have been unresponsive or, you know, may not have spoken to you in a while. But, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, if they're going to buy a house, if they raise their hand and said that they're ready to that they want to see a home. It's a matter of when. And you want the consumer to work with you and not some other agent in the area who happened to be better at follow-up than you did. So that's really what it takes to be successful on our site is really diligent following up, also answering your phone.
Yeah, well, we're talking about some of the greats in it. Gary Keller, in his book, he talks about how professionalism in this industry is lacking. And one of the things is the immediate need to show at the very moment the person calls, let's get out to the house versus leaving that dedicated time block off and saying, instead of saying when's best to see the house, you say, is it better to see the house Wednesday at 5 or Friday at 2 and leaving the person options that fit within your schedule? Because he said, if you say when's the best time, guess what time's the best time? Friday after 6, Saturday morning and Sunday. And then when you're saying, why am I always getting Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning showings? Because you're asking when the best time is and that's when they're off.
That's all. And I think that's, you know, that's a great point, Sean. Like you think about it as an agent, like you are the one who controls your time, right? And so you have to, you know, make sure that you're aligning your business with what you need as well. Because the consumers are demanding, right? They want to see the houses when they want to see it. And I think that that's a great point is that you decide when they want to see it. Like you give them a time and give them options because that's all consumers want. They just want the option. And if you give them two options that they can choose from, you know, I think that you're setting yourself up for the best success and for the best time management.
Yeah, in that one, he went on to talk about just how anyone who needs to see a house at this one split second is a one house showing, and that's it. And if you want a bunch of one house showings and not a long-term client, then chase after those people. But you'll find yourself being the agent that never closes and being the agent that always shows one or two homes to people.
Absolutely. And you know what, Sean, one more thing I want to add to this, because I think this is important, is one of the trainings that I do. I actually, on that first, actual initial appointment, say, don't meet the person at the home. Meet them either at your office or at a coffee shop, somewhere neutral, where you can actually sit down and have a conversation with them first, before you go out to show that home. Like, give the consumer what they want up front. Like, yes, you're gonna have this appointment, we are going to see that home, but your job on that first appointment is to qualify. Get to know who this person is, why they want that home, what areas that they want to be in, so that you can be really diligent about how you're going to follow up with them down the line. Also, do they need to be pre-approved? Why are you showing somebody 50 houses if they haven't even gotten pre-approved, right? Those are things that you find out on that first appointment, not on the first phone call, but the first actual sit down. Then after you spend, you know, 15 to 20 minutes or 30 minutes, let's say, talking to that person, then you can go show that home. But now you have all the information that you need going forward. What is the next step? Well, the next step might be, okay, they're not pre-approved, they got to see a lender. I'm not showing any more homes to this person until I know that they can actually afford to buy this home, buy a home in general, right? So there are tools that you can use to maximize your time so that you're not wasting your time with the consumer. But the first step is having an actual sit down and getting to know who they are. And that's where you're selling yourself on the appointment.
Please make sure to follow the podcast. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me through DM, PM, phone call, email, whatever works best for you. Have a great week, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you so much.